Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Just feels good to win. Yeah, because just really proud of my teammates and all this week. You just when you go through tough things, I think you just got to remember why you play this game. You love to play this game, and you love the guys you play with. So that'll get you through anything. And just continue to stick together, feed off your teammates, and believe that you're gonna have a breakthrough. And whether you describe today as a breakthrough or not, we got the win. That's what's most important. And we just got to continue to find ways to get better, keep building. But it felt good to have that hard work pay off a little bit.
Chicago Bears quarterback Mitch Trubisky talking about the game that snaps his club's four-game losing streak, 20-13 win for the Bears over the Detroit Lions. You know what, guys? I thought, fair enough. I mean, you know, he's right. You know, it always feels better to win. And he was the one who said whether you describe today as a breakthrough.
No, that was perfect.
I thought that was great. Yeah.
I think he's saying what we're saying, Cat. Yeah. You get the win, but it just doesn't feel that great.
Yeah. I mean, I still...
He's just not great at press conferences yet.
You're right.
It's his third year. That's another thing he's not good at yet.
You know, there's a lot going on, man. And I need, I don't know. I want so much more out of him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I kind of, in a sense, I want him to put his foot down and just be an arrogant, you know, SOB. And, you know, just I don't give a daggone what y'all think about me. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do it my way. And I want to see that work for him. But right now, you know, I just can't believe anything that he says. You know, I don't know how things affect him. You know what I mean? Everybody's trying to put so many different dampers on him. You know, don't listen to this. Don't watch this. I mean, dude's running out of senses. You know what I mean? Don't listen to anything. Don't watch anything. You definitely don't want to smell anything because it smells bad. But, you know, I mean, there's just so much work to be done, man.
I agree. And I think all of us Bears fans and here at this bar here, we all want him to be great. We all want him to succeed. We want the Bears to be that 12-4 team last year. We want to see them move on from Matt Nagy talked about 101 to 202 in the offense, and we haven't seen that. It's almost less than 101, and we're not seeing that. And Mitch is the focal point. He's the starting quarterback for your Chicago Bears, the toughest team position to play at any sport. And he's not getting any better. It's frustrating. It's really frustrating. And like you said, Kat, I wish I would hear him say at the post game, just, I've got to play better. I'm not playing well enough. I've got to help my teammates out. I've got to do this. And he just, you know, there is a we component, but there's also a point when you're that guy, admit you're not playing well enough. Let your teammates know you can do more.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get everybody up to speed on the scores this afternoon in the early games. You've heard by now the Bears are winners 20-13. Baltimore trashed the Bengals 49-13. Cleveland sneaks one out 19-16 at home over Buffalo. Atlanta pulls the upset of the day 26-9 in New Orleans over the Saints. The Jets win the Battle of the Big Apple 34-27. Kansas City gets upset in Tennessee 35-32. Tampa Bay sneaks one out at home over Arizona 30-27. In the late action right now, games still underway in the third period. Miami, what's got into the Dolphins? They're up 10-3 on the Colts 7 minutes into the third period. At halftime, the Packers lead the Panthers 14-10. And Pittsburgh leads the Rams 14-7. That one has 57 seconds left in the first half, but the Rams are they're at their own 34 with 57 seconds left. So 14-7 Pittsburgh there. Tonight it is Minnesota at Dallas. You will hear that one right here at 670 The Score. That'll be right after you hear the post-game show with Anthony Heron and Olin Krutz. We're going to join those guys in just a couple minutes. Try and get a few more calls in here first. We'll go to Scott, who is in Moline. Scott, how you doing?
Hey, great, man. Wow, pretty cool to follow Trubisky. But, Hub, you're the best on Chicago Air by far. Kat and Pat, I have a question for you. On a noon game, what's a typical after-game routine for you? I mean, for me, it takes me 3.5 hours to get home. If I was playing, I would get in my limo, drive to have them take me to Gibson's, get a free steak, and I'd go back home. What is it you guys do? Do you go out for beers? Do you go home? What's a typical noon game after thing for you? Thanks. I'll hang up.
I think for every guy, it's different, you know, because you know, do you have family in town? Do you have friends visiting? Are you, you know, do you have 12 people that you know from some organization coming to a game that, you know, you have to do something with afterwards? For me, it was always about if I could get out of there, it was go home. I'd lay down on the floor with my dogs and take a nap because I was just exhausted. And then, you know, I planned the rest of the night out accordingly, whether or not we won or we lost, as far as, you know, am I going back downtown to eat and hang out with some friends because we won, or am I going to sit around and just lounge with my dogs and sulk because we lost? You know, you just never know how you're going to feel after a game. So I think every week it's you know, for me, it was different every week on a week-to-week basis.
You mentioned a good point there. I don't think people realize that a lot of players have family and friends that come into all these games, and you have to do a little bit of post-game, you know, show them around a little bit. You got to maybe take them out to dinner, and some people do, some people don't, and sometimes you don't want family in, and sometimes it's nice to have a break. But the one thing I always did is a good friend of mine owns Timothy O'Toole's in the city at a nice back room there that we would go there and set that up. Yeah. And family and friends could all come there and have a little meal or a drink if they wanted to and kind of decompress from the game and then go home. A lot of times I would do that and then be done and then drive home and, you know, get a nice night of sleep that night. But it all depends on the person like you're talking about. Some people don't want to be social at all after the game.
Right.
They want to run home and, you know, they want to get right in the film or do whatever. But I felt like I had to decompress a little, and I know I played a different position. I never got exhausted as you to lay on the floor. But mentally, we're all into that game. You know what I mean? You're tuned up to an 11. And it's hard to come down from that, and everybody deals with that differently. But the physical part for me was way different than you guys. But I did enjoy being able to get the guys together after games. And even after losses, it was nice to be able to sit around and talk about that game, talk about different situations, and just kind of brought the team a little bit closer together. So I enjoyed post-game for that regard. And I enjoyed a nice cold beer after a game.
And, of course, all that because you guys didn't know about the free steaks at Gibson's. So,
right. Ken, you said a quarterback. Must be a quarterback.
Right, must be a quarterback.
With a limo and all, yeah.
You know, Ken, I didn't know we have that much in common. I talk a lot about my golden retrievers on the air, and for years I've been doing this. We've been on the radio for, what, 6 hours today, game good, game bad. We've got about a four-mile track laid out in the neighborhood, and I go home, doesn't matter what the weather is, whatever it is, I go out with, I let the dogs walk me, and it takes me an hour, hour and a half just to get it all out of my head, right. You know, it really does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, that was, you know, that was something I actually looked forward to, you know, just coming home, laying out on the floor. And it was, for me, it was cool because I had family that would come in town quite a bit. You know, my parents and my grandparents would come into the games at that point in time, and everybody knew, you know, like, look, you know, if y'all want to go to dinner, that's cool. I have no problem with it. But give me some time to come down off of this mountain that I've been on, whether it's a win or a loss. I mean, you're more likely to go out after a win because you don't mind actually dealing with people. But you know that, you know, if you're going somewhere after a loss, especially depending on how that loss occurred,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Having to deal with people, you know, and you don't want to say, you know, people that are armchair quarterbacks, but people that have all the explanations for the things you should have done, the things you should have done to win the game.
Like we are
right
now.
Right, exactly.
But that's what we liked about going to O'Toole's, to get away from that.
Right.
We could keep ourselves in our own little room, and to take you inside of a room, in that room after a game like this. Yeah, we felt better, but it's a win, but we're still talking about, man, we got to get better.
Right.
And then you put your head on the pillow, and you're like, man, I got to go watch that tape on Monday.
I should add, my routine has also always been in part because dogs have always liked me so much more than people. So, you know, it makes it a lot easier. Guys, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to do some transition with Anthony Heron and Olin Kreutz. But before we go, because they're going to take it over from the studio from us, I just want to mention one more time, we have been out here at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport all day long. And, guys, Rod Coomer has been as good a host as we have ever had.
Yep.
And this spot, what a great spot. You guys are as good a Bears fans as there are anywhere in the Chicago area. You've been here since 8:30 this morning. Thank you all so much for being so great to us today. We should mention Miller Lite as well. Hold true, because, of course, Miller Lite makes this possible. But, guys, if you are ever in the Lockport area, make sure you get to Coombs Corner, because it is the place for sports. We're going to be back here at Coombs Corner in just a moment after this quick break. Welcome back, everybody. It is Bears postgame here at 670 The Score. I am Hub Arkus, along with James Big Cat Williams and Patrick Manley. And we are getting ready to hand it off to our post-game show. Thank you so much, guys. We've got an incredible crowd out here at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport. Olin was out here with us this morning. Anthony, of course, taking care of his duties with Fox Sports. Those guys are going to take it over for us in just a moment. We're going to have a little cross-talk here with Anthony and Olin. Before we do, though, I've got some thank yous to take care of, guys, because in addition to the guys here at Coombs Corner, and, of course, Ron Coomer, been just outstanding. Our crew, guys, when we go on the road, it seems hard that we even get this done. I'm amazed sometimes that we manage to get through the airwaves on your radio. But it all starts back in the studio. Our executive producer of the Ameristar Sportsbook pregame show is Adam Studzinski. In the afternoons for Post, it's been Mike Chen in the studio today. Here on site with us all day long is Chris Dickens. I call him the chef. Chris has been at it since earlier than us this morning. Marshawn Robinson. Marshawn, what time are you here this morning? About 4 in the morning? Out here setting it all up, getting all the equipment going. Marshawn, thank you so much. Matt Doyle and Sawyer Bach, where are the guys? They're over here. Guys here with promotion, thank you so much to all of you for listening. We do appreciate it. And I believe that we got crosstalk going now. Can I bring, it's my pleasure to welcome in the hosts of your post-game show, Anthony Heron and Olin Kreutz. And let me start it off. I got to ask Olin, because we've been talking about it for the last 2 hours.
How was that food over there, Hub?
Oh, man. You know that steak the Coombs was cutting up for
you?
You should have stuck around for it,
nah,
man.
Coombs was supposed to get me that. He kept lying about it. I'm going to bring it out, Olin. I mean, I asked for it for 2 hours. I asked for it for 2 hours. You sure Manley doesn't have a question over there?
I got a question for you first, though, because we've been talking about it. We were talking during the game. We've been talking about it in postgame. We talked about it in the pregame. It is a mystery to me why they decided that they had a need to flip James Daniels and Cody Whitehair from center to guard. And I haven't looked at the tape yet. Got to go back and study it. But based on the performance, offense, 226 yards of total offense.
Mm-hmm.
The worst, well, not the worst, the 27th ranked pass rushing team in the league, 5 sacks, half a dozen pressures. Why? Why did they do this? And what's your initial reaction to what the move, you know, produced?
Well, and like we talked about in the pregame show, just didn't agree with the move because that wasn't the offense's problem, right? The center wasn't the problem with the offense. And to me, it's just more evidence that they don't understand what's really wrong with their offense. Like when you watch them today against a 31st ranked Detroit Lions that give up 424 yards a game, struggle for most of that game. And today, the one thing you can say about Cody is that he is a little more, he communicates a little more. And like Big Cat knows well, a center has to be willing to open his mouth, be the leader, and get everybody organized. But didn't make much of a difference today. Kind of knew from last year that Cody would struggle a little bit with his snaps today. But if you're looking for one positive that came out of it, that would have been the one positive. But I don't know if you guys heard Mitch Trubisky's post-game interview. Hub, Cat, and Pat, I know in the post game sometimes you don't hear it, but his answer to it, and I think Big Ant's going to play it a little bit later for our listeners, his answer to it, if you ask me, now I know where the move came from. Now I know who wanted that switch. It was Mitch Trubisky, and he's way more comfortable with Cody Whitehair at center. And to be honest with you, now I'm even more bothered by the move.
And you are correct, Olin. We are definitely going to play that during the post show. And that's the reason I found it interesting. I'm glad Olin noticed the exact same thing, because in the question that was answered, and we won't go into all the details of it, but essentially it was Mitch talking about how he didn't use the word excited, but he certainly extolled the virtues of Cody Whitehair in the middle of the offense, the communication that he specializes in, his ability to be a leader for them out there. And that's what's called upon from the center position, as Olin knows better than anyone. And so, you know, it didn't end up aiding the offense to the extent that the Bears would have needed today. They had another one of those stretches where things got hot for about a quarter, end of the second quarter through kind of the early stages of the third quarter. The thing fizzled out a bit. And the communication in there is vital, is important. And that's one of the things Olin and I will certainly get into in some more detail during the post show here after transition, is whether or not that move, you know, how does it affect James Daniels going forward? What does it end up meaning for the offense? And the fact that it does seem that whether it was Mitch pushing for it or whether or not it was just the coaching staff noticing something that they felt like needed to change. But the way Mitch phrased things during that Q&A period afterwards certainly did seem to indicate that he was, if nothing else, he was pleased about it, if not, you know, one who was pushing for the move of getting Cody Whitehair back to center.
Okay, my question, what's going on, fellas? How are you?
What's up,
go ahead, Cat? What's up, man?
My question is, if we're just four ex-football players and Hub's an ex-football player, too. We'll get him in there.
I was a hell of a high school football player.
If we're sitting around and we're having a couple beers after the game and we're talking about why this move got made, and we believe that it is the quarterback's decision to change the center because it helps him feel more comfortable. As individuals, as guys in that locker room, how do we feel about that decision? You know what I mean? How do we feel about a quarterback that, in my eyes, I'm not going to speak for everybody, mm-hmm. in my eyes, needs to be pampered so much that the center needs to be changed for him to feel good?
To me, I think it'll largely depend on the results. And the results today were mixed at best. Now, you know, in addition to Mitch, where some of those sacks are Mitch holding the ball too long, some of those sacks are Mitch running himself into pressure, some of those sacks are just miscommunication up front, where you got the worst pass rush, or one of the worst pass rushes in the National Football League screaming through there. But then you also have one of the things I'm going to talk to Olin about during the post is drops from receivers. We've seen Taylor Gabriel with drops here lately. We've seen Tariq Cohen as of last week's game with several drops. It's a team that leads the National Football League in drop passes. So overall, the execution up front, the communication between the center, guard, and quarterback positions there towards the interior of the protection, that's vital. But when it comes down to it, the rhythm, the timing, the execution of the offense early in game, the skill position has a lot to do with that as well when you have a squad that's leading the NFL in drops. So, you know, if Mitch was part of the influence of switching Whitehair and Daniels between the center guard position, you know, it's not something that you would think would naturally be comfortable for the guys. But if it would have led to more, especially more consistency up front, then I think everybody swallows it well enough. If it leads to better offense today, I don't know that there was enough offense where everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, well, that's cool then because it worked.
Yeah, and one thing that we talked about on the pregame show was sometimes, like, we all do this, right? You look at the game through the eyes of the position you play. So as soon as something bad happens, I'm looking at every other position but the offensive line and saying, well, that happened there, and I'm trying to apologize for somebody getting beat on the offensive line and find a reason for that to happen. And as an analyst, you have to step away, and really, if you have to blame the position you played on, then you have to do that. But the thing I wonder about the Bears sometimes is if you put Mitch Trubisky in a room with their four quarterback gurus, right, who is Nagy, Childress, Heffrick, and Ragone, that's a lot of guys looking at the team through the quarterback's eyes, right? What can make things easier on the quarterback? And some of that, I think, is why most of the decisions are made around the offensive line, and the offensive line is the problem when it really isn't.
All righty, guys, that music is our cue to say goodnight. I hope that you guys enjoy the post-game show. Our post-game show became kind of a wake, to be honest with you. And in the grand tradition, as I look around Coombs Corners, Here on the mobile studio, I see the vodka, I see the scotch, I see the craft beer. Mm-hmm. Chef Dickens is working on a second case of Miller Lite. So we're handling the wake correctly, guys. We hope you have a great post-post show again. Thanks to everybody out here at Coombs Corner for all of our listeners. And, guys, stay right where you are. I can't wait to get in the car and hear what Anthony and Olin have to say. It's post-post coming up next right here at 670 The Score.
Drive safe, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.